Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. I was thinking this morning about an article that appeared in Newsweek. It's titled, "The Bible So Misunderstood, It's a Sin." And in this article, you have the author pointing out that Jesus is a false apocalyptic prophet, pointing out that the Bible is contaminated and corrupt, going so far as to say that the creation accounts of Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 contradict one another. This, of course, is not uncommon. We've heard this over and over and over again. But it's highly unlikely that an author is going to contradict himself within the span of several sentences. Moreover, given the sophistication of the literary genres that are employed in the book of Genesis, we are immediately alerted to a deeper purpose within the narrative. Rather than mining Genesis for all its wealth, this fundamentalism from the left seems bent on forcing the language into a literalistic labyrinth from which nothing but their nonsense can emerge. Not only that, but even a cursory reading of Genesis 1 and 2 ought to be enough to discern that the author has a different purpose in one than the other. Chapter 1 presents a three-level hierarchy of God's creative prowess memorably associated with days of the week. In contrast, chapter 2 focuses on the crowning jewels of God's creation, humankind, man and women, who are designed to be in right relationship with both creation and creator. And then I'd say this. We should always remember that the language of Scripture is a heavenly condescension so that we finite human beings can know something of the nature and purposes of our infinite God. Readers concerned with the chronology of creation need to look no further than God's revelation in the book of nature. So those who tenaciously follow evidence wherever it leads will read both the book of Scripture or the Bible and the book of science with an open mind. And the author, Kurt Eichenwald, of this article has a very closed mind and, quite frankly, doesn't understand literary genres. All of the refutation to the arguments he makes in Newsweek are in my book, Has God Spoken, and many more as well. We can be absolutely certain that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. But more importantly, in my book, I kind of explicate the art and science of biblical interpretation, which would be helpful to Eichenwald, but many Christians as well. If we say we believe in the Bible, we ought to know the art and science of biblical interpretation. It's a science in that rules apply. It's an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at it. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up, Jesse. He's in Missouri. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, how are you doing today, Hank?
I'm doing well. Nice talking to you.
You know, the Bible says that do not judge or you will be judged, and that the measure that you use, it will be given to you.
Mm-hmm.
I might be a little bit off on that wording there, but, you know, I see that you're doing a great thing. The only thing that bothers me, you know, I used to be a Mormon, and I kind of got away from that because ain't nobody can live up to that standard.
Mm.
You just couldn't meet the bar, you know? And, you know, I'm still trying to do work for Christ and win souls, and I think that's the goal.
Yes.
But at the same time, you know, I don't have it all figured out, and I don't think I'll ever have it all figured out, but I do know that Christ is my Lord and Savior, and that He will not ever leave me or forsake me. Even when I was a Mormon, He was still right there, you know? And I don't really believe in their philosophy. I don't really believe in, you know, like Jehovah's Witnesses or the Seventh-day Adventists. You know, I can read the Scriptures and definitely find fault like you do in their the way they go about it. But at the same time, there's no way I could ever go to them and judge them, because me, myself, I don't have it all figured out.
You just have judged them, right, Jesse? You have judged them. And the issue biblically is judging by a right standard. And I think you make the point quite eloquently in the prologue to the question. We can't judge hypocritically or self-righteously. We need to judge by a right standard. And so when you talk about Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses or Seventh-day Adventists, you want to test what they say in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. And in essentials, there has to be unity. So when a Mormon says that Jesus Christ is a spirit brother of Lucifer, that Jesus Christ is actually not God in the sense that we know that he is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, there's a huge divergence here on an essential matter. If the Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus Christ is the Archangel Michael, as opposed to being the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, a huge divergence with respect to an essential to historic Christian faith. So I think we do well to remember the maxim in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. So you do well to judge Mormonism because they deviate from the historic Christian faith when it comes to essential Christian doctrine. But you also have to remember that the Bible says, even from among your own numbers, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. Remember, for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you night and day with tears. So Paul here is very clearly saying that we should be on our guard, that we should test all things and hold fast to that which is true.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. My only fear is I would hate for somebody who does believe in Jesus and that is trying to do the walk, and you know, they listen to you, and you're exactly right. I mean, there's no question about that in my mind. But if they turn from God because they just wasted a whole bunch of time, you know, trying to follow this religion, and they can see plainly how you're right and it's not true, then that's the only thing I worry about, you know.
Well, you make a point that's valid, because we're not just calling someone away from a false notion of God, because the real issue is not the word you use, but the meaning that is poured into the word. Again, we're not just calling people away from false gods, false Jesuses, as the Bible makes clear. There are false Jesuses, there are false Christs, but we're calling them to the true God. And we're saying that all of us have the light of creation. We all have the light of conscience, and if we follow the light that we have been given, the Apostle Paul says that we can receive the light of the genuine Christ who is depicted in the pages of Scripture, the one who created all things, the one who knit us together in our mother's womb, the one who resurrected from the dead, the one who has done what we could not do so that we can be reconciled to God for time and for eternity. You know, common sense ought to be sufficient to alert us to the importance of making public as well as private judgments regarding false doctrine. Remember, during the infamous Tylenol scare, it was back in 1982, and there were public warnings by the media and by the medical community regarding the physical danger of ingesting Tylenol capsules. Why? Because someone had laced them with cyanide. And I think in a very similar fashion, when spiritual cyanide is dispensed within the Christian community, we are duty-bound to warn the public, just as Paul did. He publicly rebuked Hymenaeus and Philetus because their teaching spread like gangrene. In other words, they were devastating from a spiritual standpoint. Our Lord cautioned followers, again, not to judge self-righteously. He counseled them to make judgments based on right standards. And in context of his oft-misquoted command, "Judge not, or you too will be judged," Jesus exhorts us to judge false prophets whose teachings and behavior led people astray. And therefore, while we are commanded to not judge hypocritically, we are nevertheless called to judge. One more point, and that is the precedent for making right judgments comes from the Bible. In the Old Testament, you find the Israelites. They're commanded to practice sound judgment by thoroughly testing the teachings of their leaders. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul commands the Thessalonians to test all things, to hold fast to that which is good, and then lauds the Bereans for testing his own teachings. So if the Apostle Paul could be tested, we should be able to test anybody. But again, we want to do this with gentleness and with respect. We're coming to a station break. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
The resurrection of Jesus is constantly under attack. If Christ has not risen, our faith is futile, and a culture critical of our faith well understands that. The physical resurrection of Christ is the incontestable cornerstone of Christianity, making a persuasive, reasoned defense of that event's historicity the essential of all apologetic essentials. Resurrection by Hank Hanegraaff clearly communicates the evidence and implications of the resurrection, and it does so using a memorable method to equip Christians to defend the very fabric of our faith. To receive your copy of Resurrection, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. In addition to Resurrection, Hank will include an excerpt of his forthcoming book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. Perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, The Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Ed. He's in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Ed.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I wanted to ask a question. That was a statement made Sunday at church that we shouldn't repeat the model prayer, because the model prayer was just for Jesus' disciples, because to ask for God's kingdom to come is wrong, because when Jesus came, he was God's kingdom.
Yeah, well, it is true that when Jesus Christ came, the kingdom was inaugurated, but we must always remember that we're co-laborers with Jesus Christ in the consummation of the kingdom. So the kingdom would start small. Jesus described it starting small like a mustard seed, and then eventually it would become a large tree and birds would be able to nest in its branches. And it is variously described in the Old Testament as a rock that is cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands. It fills the earth. So the kingdom starts small, but eventually fills the earth, which is to say there's going to come a time when the kingdom is consummated, when the habitation of God and the habitation of humanity are conjoined as one, and God himself will live with us, and we are again part and partakers, we might say, of the consummation, and therefore we pray, thy kingdom come in its fullness.
Okay. The same guy that made that comment, he started talking about Frederick Price. Do you know any major problems with Frederick Price? I haven't listened to him.
Yeah, Frederick Price is a false teacher, and I've written about him in a book called Christianity in Crisis. So he is a person who has been involved in teaching heresy. Heresies like, he says, do you think that the punishment for our sin was to die on a cross? If that were the case, the two thieves could have paid your price. No, the punishment was for Jesus to go to hell itself and to serve time in hell separated from God. So redemption was not procured on the cross, but rather procured in the dungeons of hell. This is a great heresy that he teaches. He also says if we have to say, if it be thy will or thy will be done, if you have to say that, then you're calling God a fool. So Price mocks the sufficiency of Christ's atonement at Calvary. He makes all kinds of other false teachings, including teaching that Jesus Christ was rich, and because Jesus Christ was rich, we ought to be rich as well. So this is not someone who is a credible teacher.
Okay. Thank you. I'll call back and get that book.
Christianity in Crisis.
Christianity in Crisis. Thank you.
You got it. Price also misdefines the biblical concept of dominion and sneers at those who believe that God has dominion over the earth. He says, if those animals belong to God, how come God didn't give them their names? Why did he leave it up to a puny man to give them names to the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the vegetable kingdom? Because they belonged under the control of Adam and not of God. Why? He had dominion, not God. Adam. And he has made a habit of calling into question God's overarching authority. His theological errors touch on many crucial errors, including, as I said, he is constantly communicating a health and wealth gospel. He says that he does not allow sickness in their home, and he discourages the use of medication. He says, when you have developed your faith to such an extent that you can stand on the promises of God, then you don't need medicine. And he also says that the reason that he drives a Rolls Royce is he's following in Jesus Christ's steps. In other words, Jesus Christ was rich, Jesus Christ wore designer clothes, and therefore we ought to be healthy and wealthy as well. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Johnny May, listening in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, Johnny May.
Hey, Hank, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I was calling. I'm starting a seminary, seminary school, and starting a class in Hebrews.
Mm-hmm.
And the book that we're studying out of is Andrew Murray. Have you heard of him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was ordained in the Dutch Reformed Church, and I grew up in Holland. I was part of what was called the Gereformeerde Kerk when I was a child.
Okay, so it's a pretty good book to be studying out of then.
Well, he was a leader in the Higher Life or Keswick theology, Second Blessing theology. He was involved with faith healing and the continuation of the apostolic gifts. So I wouldn't agree with him on everything, but I think when it comes to essential Christian doctrine, he was solid.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's all I wanted to know.
Hey, appreciate your call, Johnny May.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it. Back to the phone line. Scott, he's in Mountain View, Arkansas. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. I wanted to tell you real quick, I'm real excited. I've just ordered your book, The Apocalypse Code, and I can't wait for it to come in.
Well, I hope you enjoy reading it.
I'm really looking forward to it. The reason why I'm calling, I wanted to ask about, I guess the word is translation, Bible translations. I recently downloaded a Bible app for my tablet, and I didn't realize just how many translations there really were. And I wanted to know which of these are good and are any bad translations bad? Should we avoid any of them?
Well, there are some translations that are bad. For example, there's the New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witnesses. That's a very, very bad translation of the Bible. But there are also many good translations of the Bible that are available today. You know, just an example of what's typically called a dynamic equivalency, the NIV, the New International Version, is very good. Translation of the Bible. When it comes to formal equivalency, which is more of a word-for-word translation, although the dynamic equivalency is not strictly a thought-for-thought translation, and the formal equivalency is not a strict word-for-word translation, but one is more in one camp and one is more in the other camp. But in the formal translation series, you'd find the New King James Version to be a very good translation of the Bible.
That is the one I've read most often, and that's the copy that I read myself right now, and I've always found it good. But I was wondering, so generally speaking, most other translations, most translations that we're aware of are probably pretty reliable?
Yeah, there are a lot of good modern translations. The NASB is a very good translation. In fact, when I was memorizing Proverbs, that's a translation I used because Proverbs are pithy. And so the NASB fits that mode of translation very well. But when I'm memorizing something like the Olivet Discourse, the NIV works very well, or the New King James Version works very, very well, because it's not only memorable, but it's in the street language of the day.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Well, Hank, I really appreciate you and your ministry, and I listen every night, and God bless you.
God bless you as well. And by the way, when someone mentions the Apocalypse Code, that's my book. And the subtitle of that book is Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times and Why It Matters Today. The Apocalypse Code, the idea here is that if you want to understand John's Apocalypse or the Book of Revelation, you have to understand it in light of the rest of Scripture. And interpreting Scripture in light of Scripture is a basic principle in the art and science of biblical interpretation. So we want to read Revelation rightly by interpreting it through right principles. So many today are interpreting Revelation with a newspaper in one hand and the Bible in the other. But Revelation is not a book perfectly suited for a shallow post-Christian mind. It is a book that is deeply rooted in the thesaurus of Scripture. In other words, you have to know the Bible, because what you have in Revelation is a virtual recapitulation of biblical history given in a two-part series, Revelation 1 through 11 and then Revelation 12 through 22. And when you understand the Scriptures and the art and science of biblical interpretation, then Revelation becomes a flower that opens to you. It's one of the most beautiful books of the Bible. And of course, the culmination of Revelation is simply glorious. It underscores the fact that Christ is building a body. And in Revelation chapter 21, you see that body, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband. So John uses the picture of a city to give you an image of the perfected bride. The angel, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, came and said to him, "Come, let me show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." That bride, the wife of the Lamb, is the full complement of God's people. And when that full complement of God's people has been consummated, the new heavens and the new earth will be upon us. Not only will we be resurrected when Jesus appears a second time, but the universe that now groans in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay. A glorious reality that we all look forward to. The Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Look forward to seeing you right back here next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity." Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now.